Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mountain Talk with Sioux City Explorers Manager Steve Montgomery. Mountain Talk is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Sioux City Manager questions about the Explorers, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Steve's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, Steve talks to us about his final roster heading into the season. He tells us whether he thinks his team can win 71 games again, and would the skipper star as the new Chucky? Let's find out on Mountain Talk. Well, let's welcome back Manager Steve Montgomery. We're recording this right before the season begins. So, Steve, let's begin with team updates.
Well, obviously, our rosters had to be set by noon yesterday. So, we had a flurry of activities. We released three players, Evan DeLuca, Luis Vietes, or Yvonne Vietes, and Tillman Pugh. And, you know, we felt we moved Sebastian Zawada onto the inactive list, young kid that hurt his hamstring probably about the game against Lincoln about 4 days ago. And we like where we're at right now. We're gonna carry 21 to start the year. Not an ideal situation when you can carry 23, but we do have depth, and we like where we sit right now. And tomorrow it's the lights are going to come on, and the stats are going to count for real.
With your roster being finalized now, what are your overall thoughts of the team?
We have depth in our lineup. We have two young guys that really have done a really good job for us. That'll be an everyday players in Daytona Bryden and Luke, I think his name's Luke Bonfield. We just signed him a couple days ago, and I'm terrible with names. So, guy by the name of Bonfield. Off the mound, I like my rotation, in no particular order. We got Jordan Garcia, Jemiola, Karch, and Duvall. All have touched the double A or higher levels. So, we have a lot of experience in our rotation. Falwell with what he did last year, and newcomers Sierra Bender and Gherkin from the right side, and closing with Poporeko and Velez from the left. So, I just like my team, we're ready to go to battle.
What do you feel is the identity of the team right now?
A little bit of everything, to be honest. I like our defense has played very, very well through the first couple games, and we've pitched decent with the exception of just one inning. In all six games we've pitched really, really well except for one inning. And that one inning we did give up four runs, but it was, a guy just flying open and not being able to make that adjustment. And it was the first time off the mound trying to impress a little bit, and I get that stuff, but overall, we pitched pretty good. We went 4-2 in the preseason. Offensively, the last 2 days at CHS Field, the first day was very, very difficult to see early through the game. Just with the light being shined on center field wall, and there were some patches throughout with sunlight, so the ball was, into light, into shadow, into light, and that's very difficult for a hitter to see. But we didn't swing the bats particularly well, or what we're accustomed to swinging. But, we had some opportunities where we could have done stuff to maybe manufacture a run here or there. But in the preseason, you want to let them swing. You want to let them get as many swings in as they can. Win or lose the game, that's not important. But, pitching and defense should be a strong suit. And, obviously, covering this league, we're going to have timely hits. And that's how we're built upon, is that sort of stuff. And, if we can continue to do that like we have in the past, we should be in every ballgame.
I know making those final cuts is never a fun day for you at all. So what are your thoughts? What's the thought process that kind of goes into that on how you build that team finally?
Well, obviously in the back of your mind is a salary cap that you have to adhere by, and nobody wants to start the year out, hundreds of dollars a day over your cap. So I think everybody's a little bit over their cap right now, and with injury and guys getting picked up and stuff like that, you end up catching up. But yeah, it's a hard day. That final day when you're calling 3-4 guys in, it's never a good day for a manager, but you know, it's a business at the end of the day, and you try to make what you feel is best decisions, not only for your team, but for your long-term ability for your salary cap as well. So, it's a double-edged sword, but, you know, that's why we're in the positions that we're in as managers, that you have to make the hard decisions and you have to tell the guys about your decision.
My last question for me personally is, when you look at this team right now, who's somebody that you think that fans are going to look back on and go, wow, this guy is really something? I mean, a player that fans are really going to take to.
Well, obviously, if you're looking through the eyes of like an MLB organization, it's Anthony Bender. Guy that threw yesterday against St. Paul, running it up 96, 98 miles an hour. I don't know how long we're going to have him, I can be honest with you, but he's electric arm. You know, as far as like our fans, obviously they're going to gravitate more towards our offensive players because they're everyday players. And obviously, you know, I could easily go with Samson, Sermo, and Lang. I mean, that would be the obvious choices. But I'm looking for a big year out of a young guy by the name of Daytona Bryden. He's from Wisconsin Whitewater, Division III National Player of the Year. A lot like a Michael Lang type player, is going to be exciting to watch. He can run. He's going to play center field. He tracks down balls, plays the game the right way, hard. And, you know, one of those guys that, especially as a young, talented kid, could really garner the respect of the hometown crowd.
Well, let's head into those fan questions. We start with Travis, who would like to know if you think this team could win 71 games like last year.
I say it every year, no. No. I mean, to win, you know, to win 70 games, I mean, obviously it's been done 4 times in the league, and that's it. So it's a very hard thing to do. You got to have so many things go right for you in those 70 games. Obviously, staying injury free is huge. You know, being able to, when somebody gets picked up, having somebody available that's just as talented. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And, you know, when you asked me the question, you know, could we win 75 last year? Yeah, I'd say we wouldn't even have won 70 coming out of spring training, but, you know, some things went, a couple bounces went our way and stuff like that, and you end up winning 71. But, you know, I would say no, but I do like my team, and if we can stay healthy and, you know, keep moving forward, you never know, but I would say no.
Jeremy would like to know, what numbers do you think guys should not wear in baseball because of luck or whatever?
Well, no pitcher should wear a single digit. That's my opinion on that. It makes them look small, and pitchers always want to look big. You know, even if you're a smaller pitcher, you want to wear a double digit number. So, but, I don't like, I mean, obviously I'm a superstitious guy, 13. Yeah, I don't like that too much. You know, other than that, I don't really care about the numbers per se, but I really am against pitchers wearing single digits.
You superstitious? Who'd have thought that? Braden says, do those tryouts you have ever yield a good player?
I mean, you never know. You never know where you're going to find the next diamond in the rough. I mean, you know, it don't matter what school you play at. If you have talent, MLB or someone else is going to find you. So, yeah, you can find good players out of a tryout setting. And, if you have talent, please don't give up and keep going to these tryouts, and someone's going to give you an opportunity. You know, I always say is, one man's trash is another man's treasure. So, keep working hard at it and keep pushing forward.
We have a couple of questions from Reese. We start with, everyone seems locked in on the 99-mile-an-hour fastball and not on the Greg Maddux style of pitching. Do you think the art of pitching is dead?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, you know, back when I first started in this, back in 01, if you had one guy on your staff that threw 90, he threw hard. And now, if you're not throwing 91, 93, you know, you're an afterthought. So, you know, a lot of it is the training these guys are doing, the off-season training, the getting bigger, stronger, faster, and not only getting faster with their feet, getting faster with their throwing arm. So there's a lot to be said about, you know, supplements, protein, stuff like that. You know, everyone's getting bigger and stronger. So, yeah, the 86-mile-an-hour two-seam fastball is kind of an afterthought because and another part of it is big too. You can remember when Greg Maddux faced, or I'll even go back when the Braves faced the Marlins and LeVon Hernandez pitched that game and Eric Gregg was behind the plate. How big was that strike zone? It was absolutely enormous. Yep. Now the umpires are being graded by that little K zone thing. And the umpires have to call a legit strike zone now because they're getting graded. And if they get graded where their strike zone is too big, those guys get replaced, where back when Maddux and all of them pitched, the strike zone was enormous.
At 96, I think that was, a matter of fact. So, Reese would also like to know, what happened to the screwball?
It's just a hard pitch to throw. You gotta throw. A screwball has to be thrown out of a 12 o'clock slot. So what I mean by 12 o'clock is on a clock. Has to throw straight over the top. You can't, there's not many guys that are doing that. They're all throwing three quarter because you can throw a lot harder three quarters. So, the screwball is just going to be a pitch that I don't think you're going to see much of. And you got to get so much to the inner half of the ball that it is a very, very hard pitch to throw and very unique.
Greg would like to know if you think the Tampa Bay Rays can hold on to the AL East.
If they keep pitching the way they're pitching, yeah, they can, because they're doing all the little things right now. But, you know, you got a team that's starting to play pretty good baseball and a starting staff that's starting to figure it out, and that's Boston. So here they come. And, you know, Alex has done a good job at weathering the storm. And moving forward, if I was a betting man, I would definitely bet on the Red Sox to overtake the Rays. But, you know, the Rays will be there definitely for a playoff spot at the end of the season.
David would like you to settle an argument between a friend of his. He would like to know who you think was the better left-hander, Sandy Koufax or Randy Johnson?
Ooh, two very good. If you longevity, obviously, Randy Johnson. If you go domination, in my opinion, it would have been Koufax. Koufax, in a shorter span of time, did more than Randy Johnson ever did early in his career. Randy Johnson got better as his career went on. Sandy Koufax shut it down when right in his prime. So if you're talking about young and like a quick spurt, Sandy Koufax. If you're talking longevity, as far as doing it over the long haul, obviously Randy pitched way more years.
Tyler says, do you think the playoffs are more enjoyable when it is like the NBA where the teams that are expected to finish in the finals do, or like the NHL where anyone can win, but you are not necessarily getting the best teams?
NHL, because if you're going to sit here and say that they're definitely not the best team, you know what? Just because you're the best regular season team doesn't mean you're the best team at the end of the season. You look at what Columbus did late by pulling those three trades off. They became a very, very good team. Why did they do that? So that they could have a playoff push. They got themselves in the playoffs and obviously upset the best team, the best regular season team. So I definitely like the NHL playoffs because, isn't this all anticlimactic anyways, the NBA playoffs? Golden State's going to win the championship. I hate to ruin it for anybody out there, but Golden State's going to win the championship.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Sean would like to know, how accurate was the Steve Montgomery draft board on draft day?
There were some reaches. I never saw the Raiders taking that defensive end out of Clemson where they took him. I thought they could get him later in the draft, but they wanted an edge rusher. It was the first 10 picks, you know, some guys slid, some guys went up. It was definitely unique. You kind of anticlimactic. Kyler Murray was the first pick in the draft, and how did we not see that coming with Cliff Kingsbury recruiting him in college and stuff? So you kind of knew that was going to happen.
Sean also says it looks like Arizona did not agree with you about Murray.
I don't know how. I mean, Russell Wilson does it, but Russell Wilson's put together a little bit. You know, I mean, he's 210 pounds, gets outside the pocket. And, you know, I watched a couple Cardinals games last year, and Drew Rosen was under pressure all the time. Now, can Kyler Murray, can he maneuver the pocket, or is Cliff Kingsbury going to get him on the roll? You know, if you think about Oklahoma and their passing attack, he really didn't throw many passes from inside the pocket. So they're going to have to get him, get creative with him and get him outside the pocket to get him in throwing tunnels.
Ronnie says, I know they didn't have a number one pick, but the Browns didn't seem to make any kind of a splash in the draft. Your evaluation?
Yeah, they did have a number one. They had a number one draft pick in the draft. It was called Odell Beckham Jr. So I feel like they got the best player in the first round. They gave up a first round pick for him. So you gotta like that. They really hit a home run in the 2018 draft. They really hit a home run in the 2018 draft and who they drafted. Now they just, you know, they give up that first round pick for Odell Beckham. It's a pretty good first round pick. So, we'll see. You know, they really were playing good football at the end of last year. Can that translate into 2019-2020 season? We'll see. But you gotta like them on paper right now. Jarvis Landry and Odell out wide. They got Kareem Hunt in the backfield and Baker Mayfield, the quarterback. Excuse me. And, you gotta like them. And their defense played well last year towards the end of the season. So, just gotta keep that momentum going into the season.
Dylan says the Patriots are rated with the second best draft class. I know you better expect to hear some crap when the Patriots make it to the Super Bowl again.
Sergeant Bluff High School right down the road, if they were in the AFC East, would be contenders. So that division is not good. I mean, it hasn't been good for years, ever since the guy that was on with the Jets, and he had Revis.
Yeah.
And stuff. That was the last good team that really challenged the Patriots. Can you name an AFC East team that's even been remotely close to being good? You can't. Until those teams figure it out, the Patriots are going to have, you know, 6-7 bye weeks throughout the season where they're not playing good competition.
We have a couple of questions from Dana. The first is, was there any other thing you wanted to do as a kid when you grew up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, I wanted to be a basketball player. You know, I don't think I hide that, you know. Basketball was my number one sport coming up through high school and, went and did the AAU, you know, traveling all over and stuff like that, which led to Division I scholarship offers. But at the end of the day, you have to make a decision, you know, and I'd never put baseball into full time in my life. And, it was just something I did for the summer and the spring because my parents made me a deal. If I was playing sports, I didn't have to work. Well, I didn't want to get a job, so I played every sport I could. And, so that's why I played baseball. And then, you know, when I sat down with my basketball coach and baseball coach, you know, and asked, you know, what could everybody see me doing? You know, and my coach said, you don't play above the rim as far as my basketball coach. You don't play above the rim, but you can shoot. So, you know, that's, you know, as far as an NBA and stuff like that, you're not going to make it. And my baseball coach said, I don't know, you've never taken baseball seriously. So, you know, I kind of made a decision there to move, to go forward with baseball, and I've never looked back.
Dana would also like to know if you and your wife have a song.
No, we really don't have a song. You know, when a song, I guess you know, when a song comes on that my kids like on the radio, me and my wife look at each other and like, really? And then when we have a song that comes on and there's a little bit of a guitar, my kids don't even know what a guitar is. Like, they're like, you know, and we're like, yeah, we know this. This was our high school and stuff. And my kids are looking at us like, you are crazy. This music stinks. So it's kind of funny when you see that. But no, me and my wife do not have a song.
It's kind of surprising. All this younger generation is into 80s music now. I'm kind of surprised to hear that. So.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, like you put on some AC/DC and my son looks at me like, I can't believe you listen to this stuff. It's like terrible. But then we put theirs on and, you know, you get the boom, boom with the bass and everything. And you're like, you can't even understand them, but my kids and they're singing every word. It's crazy.
Trey says, you said you aren't much of a movie guy, but are you headed out to see the new Avengers movie?
No, I'm not. Nope. I don't want to see people flying around on superhero dragons and all that stuff. It doesn't appeal to me. No, I'm not a movie guy at all. My kid went and saw it. I didn't even ask my kid how the movie was. Everybody's wrapped up in this Game of Thrones and Dungeons and Dragons type stuff, and I'm not into that either. So, like I said, I watch really one TV show, and that's The Blacklist, and that's about it.
A person identifying himself as needing help says, what would you do if you saw your friend stealing something when you were at the store?
I would tell him to put it back, because I would think through the law that if I walk out with him that I'm an accomplice, you know, they could charge me as being a lookout. So I would tell him to put it back and try to teach him to do the right thing. And, you know, if you do that, then you're helping your friend become a better person, and that's what friends do.
Randy would like to know if you would go to the prom by yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'd go to the prom. I'd still go to the prom. Prom's fun time. Fun's a prom time. I would go to the prom, you know, that was fun back then, man. You got to go in a tuxedo. Your date looked, she was in a sparkly dress. That was fun times. Yeah, I'd go to the prom by myself. Back then, I probably wouldn't have. But what I know today, yes, I would. And times have changed. You know, I know my son's group of friends, they all went by themselves to the homecoming. So times have changed, man. Back in the day when we were kids, there was no chance we were going by ourselves, because then you'd have been dubbed, you know, by all your friends as a loser who can't get a date and all that stuff, and you got bullied a little bit. But the new age, man, you can kind of be yourself and, you know, don't let people judge you.
Eric says, I'm all in favor of people working as long as they want, but who really wants to see the Rolling Stones perform in their 70s?
I do. I would love to see the Rolling Stones perform, because I never got a chance when I was younger. And, you know, they still got to be able to do it, or they wouldn't be out doing it. So, you know, no one understands that. Like, that's the same thing as, like, if, you know, like, all the generations, like, more into the hip-hop and R&B and, you know, whatever, top 20 stuff. You know, when those people get older, are they still going to want to listen to their music? Probably, because they'll relate to it. So the older generations relate to the Rolling Stones, and I'm sure that people would like to see them perform.
Brandon would like to know if you could beat that guy on that big run on Jeopardy.
Yeah, I'm not beating that guy. That guy's incredible. And not only that, he uses that jump around method, and I know there's the first guy to ever do it. It's named after him in Jeopardy, and he searches for the daily doubles. That's all he does, and he just randomly do that. And what that does is it makes it harder on the contestants, because they got to think of the category, and then he'll go from sports to, like, starts with the letter T-H-E to, like, you know, Bible history, you know, and then to, you know, Civil War. So you're having to jump, and really, if your mind isn't a quick firer, it's a huge advantage for the people that are. And then when he gets the daily double, you know, being a professional gambler, obviously he's not afraid to gamble. So he takes high risks on those questions, and, you know, he's been rewarded. Has he lost yet, by the way?
I don't think so. I think he's still going. Dude's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Just ridiculous. And we end this week with Lindsay, who says, Mongo, a new Chucky movie is coming out. Why aren't you starring in it?
I'm out. I can't do, man, I tell you, I can't do scary movies and stuff like that, man. They're just realistic to me. And, you know, the little Chucky doll, and, you know, he ran around with that knife. And, you know, then they started selling Chucky dolls and stuff, and, I don't know. And then, you know, Jason with the hockey mask, and, man, and like I said, I've said this on your show before, there's no way any one of them would catch me in a horror movie, because as soon as I would hear that music that they're about to kill them out, I would run, and I'd be gone. So, you know, it's, I don't like scary movies, never have, never will, and, you know, I just don't like them.
I can totally understand. Thanks for joining us this week, Steve.
All right, thanks for having me.
We want to thank Manager Steve Montgomery for joining us on Mound Talk this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Sioux City Skipper, please send them to us at asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the Skipper a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Mound Talk.